Amen.
Lord, I just thank you for this morning. We can come together and worship you. And what a beautiful song. Just think, holy, holy, Lord. And just the angels cry, creation cries, holy, holy. And so we just thank you for that. And so true. And Lord, I just pray this morning you would just draw us closer to you, open the word to us. And God, that you would just help us to see the truths that you have shown us, to bring them to reality in our heart. Also, we want to again thank you for Rich accepting to be elder in Broadlands Community Church, and pray a tremendous blessing on he and Annette. And so, God, we're looking forward to just how you use them in a powerful way. And we just thank you for that. And, Lord, I pray you would open each heart to receive your word. I pray you'd anoint me with your spirit. I just speak things of the spirit. And so we just thank you, dear God, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Turn, if you will. We're going to look at John chapter 21. We're going to look at verse 15. Love the title. Feed my lambs. It says, feed my lambs. So let's look at John 21 and 21 verse 15. And it says this, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. Now, this morning, we are coming to a close. This is the last Sunday for the book of John. All right, so this is the bringing the book of John to a close. And just to remind you that the message, the first message on the book of John was just the first week in January. So you can count the weeks we've been in it. It's the first week in January. So we've been enjoying going through John. And so, but we're going to bring it to a close here this morning, our study. Now, this is the last chapter of John. And again, like the, you know, 19, chapter 9, you talk about the crucifixion. Chapter 20, you talk about the resurrection. Now, picked out points there, you know, because it's self-explanatory. Same thing here in the closing. Now we know in this closing, in these closing words of Jesus, we know from Acts chapter 1, verse 3, that Jesus continued appearing to the disciples for 40 days. I don't know if everybody knew that, but it was 40 days Jesus continued after his resurrection, appearing and talking to his disciples. And so I think that would have just been fascinating, you know, to be a part of that. Now, so during this whole time, it says in this 40 days after the resurrection, 40 days, he taught the disciples. So he's continued to teach them. And so it's, you know, we don't have a lot of detail what he taught, but we have a few little things that we can look at. Now, so when you look at this from the closing of John, all right, before he ascends into heaven, he's basically giving his final instructions, okay? Final instructions. And so just kind of look at this to summarize it and what he was finding the important thing to leave everyone with. So I want to just start off with just kind of summary of what this might have looked like, what was in Jesus's mind in these final moments and what he was sharing. And first of all, it's I don't have overheads for this, but first of all, we'll look at what did Jesus say on the cross. He goes, it's finished. That's what he said. He says, it's finished. Now, to me, that's a big question mark. Really? But that's what he said. He said, it's finished. Now, it was finished because he paid the penalty for sin, and mankind was restored to the position he intended them to be. That's what was finished. Okay, that's what's important. Sins are forgiven. Mankind is restored to the place they're supposed to be, the way God meant them to be. Okay? Then we, next chapter, chapter 20, verse 21, we see this where Jesus said, "Now, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And he just said it's finished. But he said, "No, as the Father sent me, now I'm sending you." Jesus' ministry is continuing through his believers. He went to heaven. His ministry didn't. His ministry stayed here. What he did, he gave us the baton. That's what he did. So in one sense, now we're just going to continue. We're going to continue. Now we go to John 21, verse 15. Now he says, "Feed my lambs." So there's the picture. It's finished. As the Father sent me, I send you. Now feed my lambs. That's how he wraps this thing up. So very clearly, Jesus says, it's finished. It's a done deal. Done deal, okay? Then he says, I'm sending you, okay? The ministry continues. Then he says, feed my sheep. No, feed my lambs. And there's a big difference, distinction there. Feed my lambs. Now, so as we think about it, we know from other places in Scripture that we are supposed to go out into all the world and share the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, evangelicals, we all hold to that. But that's not the first thing he said. That was kind of, you know, if that was day 40 or whatever, he said something, and we have a record what he said. No, this is like day 2 of his word. He said first here, before this can happen, before you go into the world and before you can accomplish the things in the world, he says, feed my lambs. That's the first thing he said. Going into the world came afterwards. Feed my lambs. Now, these lambs are the precious ones who have come to know Jesus as their Savior. Well, what is that? They're believers. They're believers. That's who he's talking to. He said, feed my lambs. All right? And the lambs are those who have come to know Jesus as believers. And it's so interesting, he calls them lambs. I think that one of the things about being owner raised on a ranch and stuff, you're around different kind of animals and stuff. And so you're around the sheep and lambs. Okay. First of all, hated working with sheep. Hated it. I mean, you just couldn't get them from point A to point B. It was just the most frustrating thing in the world. It's like they had no sense at all, you know. Well, the lambs are the most, I don't know if you can call an animal innocent, the most innocent, you know, unafraid things you ever saw in your life. And you see, like, you pick up a lamb and hug, and they do. They do. And they don't have enough sense to be afraid. They don't have enough sense to be afraid. I was watching this show, my TV, this was a good show, and it showed this thing where a lion, now this sounds terrible, where a lion had a baby wildebeest, and I guess he was full or whatever, so he's just playing with this wildebeest. It's a grown lion, and it's a calf wildebeest baby, and he had come up with that baby wildebeest, that little baby, and that baby had ducked his head and hit that lion with his head. And that lion come over here, and that wildebeest came, and hit that. He just knew. He knew to fight. He knew to protect himself. Not so with the lamb. He sat there, well, whatever. I mean, it's amazing, you know. And, you know, say we get the kids to play with it. They're fun. Okay, they're fun. But you won't keep them too long because then they grow up to be really dumb. But they're nice little lamb. But he knows those shepherds. You know, and the word there, take care of my lambs. So everybody knew what he is talking about. The innocence and the vulnerabilities, and you need to get around the lambs, the believers. You need to come around the believers before you go to the world. You see? And so that's what he's saying here. And so we need to realize that that's what Jesus is talking about. He says, Peter, feed my lambs. Now, and we know how to feed them. You know, just if you look in Matthew 4:4, and listen to this, Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. You don't live by bread, you live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So what are you teaching? What are you feeding the lambs? Word of God. You're feeding the lambs the Word of God. See, and it's like they can't survive. These lambs can't survive, you know, and so you need to feed them the Word of God. And Linda and I talk about sometimes, there's some advantages of getting old, you know, but, you know, so you kind of accumulate some knowledge and stuff, and you just know. You just know. He says, well, how do you know? I just know. And you got some 18-year-old that come to know Jesus, and I'm going to be a missionary, and I just love Jesus, and I'm going to China. And you go, oh, my God in heaven. Oh, I love you, brother. I love you, you know. And so you're trying to somehow to get your arms around them so you can feed them from the Word of God so that they can grow and have a capacity to go. Because they're doomed for failure. Doomed. See? And you just know. But I love Jesus, and Jesus will just fill me, and Jesus will take me, and Jesus with that. I go, no, I won't. You see what I'm saying? I mean, there's no wisdom. There's no wisdom. You know, you got to look at the whole thing. And so what you do, you take those lambs and feed, and they could be another Hudson Taylor. And you think, but you need to walk with them. Now, these are believers. You think, oh, we're talking about sick. No, I'm talking somebody that's 40 years old and came to know the Lord. Ain't no difference. Y'all with me? So it's what he's saying here. Oh, Jesus, feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. So, and we know it's every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And the Apostle Paul picks up on this. You know, he certainly picks up on this. He says, all Scripture is breathed out by God. See, it's from the mouth of God. That's how you feed the lambs. It's from the mouth of God. And Scripture is from the mouth of God. So we have it real clear here of what God is telling us to do. So the nourishment comes from the Word of God. Feeding, and the feeding of lambs is extremely important. And that's the reason when God establishes His church, it makes it very clear that one of the things, you know, He has given teachers to the church. Teachers to the church. You know, but also, every one of us has something to teach. Every one of us knows something. For instance, my sins are forgiven, and I'm home in heaven. You know more than most of the world right there. And someone who comes to the Christ, and you put your arms around them, and you reinforce that they hold on to that, and they do. See, but everybody can do that. Every believer, feed my lambs. See, everybody can be one step ahead of somebody else, you know. And so whoever you happen to be one step ahead, you feed the others. Those that you see a step ahead of you, you get fed. See? And so the Lord is telling us that. So he's making this really clear that we would know that we have a responsibility to feed the lambs. Now, Jesus is talking to guys he spent 3 years with, okay, basically. And he said, first thing, you need to feed my lambs. You need to feed my lambs. Now, let's jump. Kind of shift gears here, but this is really fascinating. We also have, you know, say feed the lambs. I just want to put a little more on you. You've been a year going through the Gospel of John. Do you remember, just think, I want you to think about how many people do you know that have studied for a year going through the Gospel of John? Well, maybe not that many, is it? Now, I'm not picking on anybody. But you have. My good friend Bill Wright, with his total lack of empathy, he goes, "Now you are accountable. Feed my lambs." You see, that's how, I mean, you know that. You've studied through the book of John. 99% of the world doesn't know what you know. Okay? You'll be surprised how many Christians don't know what you know. And I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just saying, or I'm not trying to lift anybody up or anything. But what I'm saying is that you know something, and the first thing you do, oh, I'm going to go to China. No, you feed the lambs. You feed them. Now, maybe after it comes bubbles out of that, okay, but you feed the lambs. And, of course, we know the biggest lambs in our families, right? The ones we gave birth to, you know. I mean, the ones we gave birth to are proof that sheep know nothing. Process what I just said. I mean, am I right? I mean, your kids are proof that lambs know nothing. All right, but you love them anyway. You know, Mom, I can drive the car. No, you don't love me. Yeah, I do. No. No, you can't. You don't know. You gotta learn some things. You gotta have, and then you can. See, you're just a little dumb lamb. No, you wouldn't say that. Okay, but I'm saying, you see what I'm saying? That's the principle. But that's the principle of the church. And by the way, that's what makes a church healthy. And we're helping one another. You know. Is you share, but you've got to be able to listen. You have to be able to listen to others that have walked before you. Now, okay. Here we are. So we're setting this up. So this ought to be good. Jesus just commissioned Peter. But there's something. It's really interesting what happens here. And we need to take close attention to two words used here. Two words. The word love. Okay, the word love on the overhead here. These are actually two different Greek words. Not the same word in the Greek. They're two different Greek words. So if you could put this next slide up of 21:15. This is how this reads. This is how this reads in the original, okay? Follow me. So this is what Jesus really said to Peter. Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon Peter, do you agape me? Do you love me?" We translate love. And it does mean, "Simon Peter, do you agape me more than these?" Peter said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I filio you." That's not what he asked him. "You know that I filio you." Then he went on. Then he said, "Well, feed my lambs." So Jesus didn't miss a beat. He said, "Well, feed my lamb." Now, look at this. Peter was the most vocal of Jesus' disciples. All right? He was the first to talk without thinking. All right? He just was. And he was the first to say he would never forsake Jesus. "No, I will never forsake you. All the rest of them will, not me." And when they arrested Jesus, he drew a sword and cut off a man's ear. However, when they arrested Jesus, he ran away with the rest of them. And later, he denied three times that he even knew Jesus. He didn't even know him. Now, so when Jesus is talking to him now after the resurrection, you know, this is kind of fresh on Peter's mind. I mean, that just happened, you know, like a few days ago. So he knows the situation. And so Peter's not feeling quite as brash and quite as self-assured as he did before. He's a little hesitant, and he's a little more reflective here. And so what we have here in this verse, Peter said, Jesus said to Peter, do you agapeo or do you agape me? Peter, do you agape? And he goes more than these. He kind of pulled him out. He says, do you agape me? This is the same word used in John 3:16. God so loved the world, God so agape the world, that he gave his only son. Peter, do you agape me? Do you agape me? Peter, do you have a Christ-like, do you have a God-like love for me? That's what he asked him. Do you have a God-like love for me? And Peter's going, oh, sugar. Islam. And so Peter answers, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. I filio you. Filio means I love you, I'm fond of you, and I love you like a friend. You see what he said? Jesus said, you self-sacrifice, you love me like God loves. He said, no, just kind of fond of you, and I love you like a friend. That was his answer. Do you see the dynamic there? That is a fascinating dynamic. And then, you know, so basically what this said, Jesus says, do you sacrificially love me? Peter humbly says, I love you as a friend. Then it's clear the distinction. You can't help but know the distinction here and between what Jesus said and Peter said. But then Jesus just goes, okay, that's fine. Go feed my lambs. I mean, we need more discussion. He said, okay, go ahead and feed my lambs. All right. Can you imagine the conversation? Okay, we got by that. But then what happens here, Jesus speaks to Peter again. Just back to Peter again. Look at John 21:16, next verse. Jesus said to him a second time. Jesus said to him a second time, Simon, do you love me? Do you agape me? Jesus takes a deep breath. I didn't say that. He said to him, yes, Lord, you know I filio you. You know I love you. You know I filio you. Filio you. And Jesus said, okay, tend my sheep. Tend my sheep. So change, feed my lambs, and now tend my sheep. You kind of got to help them, you know, tend them. You got to brush them, clean them, and the whole, but you got to do some work with them. He said, tend my sheep. Okay, so he just put all the sheep there, not just the lambs, all the sheep. Now, it's significant here that Jesus repeats this a second time. I mean, isn't it? I mean, you'd figure if Jesus said it the first time, that's good. But if Jesus tells you twice, you go, okay, I must have really missed some the first time. You know, it clearly says... It clearly says he said to him the second time. Now, so we have the same scenario. Jesus says the same thing. Peter says the same thing. Peter, recognizing his failure and weakness, cannot bring himself to say that he self-sacrificially loves Jesus. Can't do it. Peter, do you love me? Self-sacrifice. I can't say it. I haven't proved it. I have good intentions, but I can't say it. I can't say that I self-sacrificially love you and love you like God loves. I can only surely say I'm fond of you and you're my friend. That's what happened here. That is what happened in this discussion. Fascinating. See, Peter is only able to say he loves Jesus as a friend. But then Jesus still says, okay, take care of my sheep, tend my sheep. You know, he just keeps moving on. Yeah. Now, if you put your face to Peter, you know, it's like, oh my gosh. Okay. But then look what happens. Jesus says to Peter a third time. A third time. Now, the reason I'm bringing an emphasis to this is because evidently there is an emphasis. You know, there is an emphasis here. And Jesus is making a point. And he's going to say the same thing. And this is the third time he says it. So here we are. Look at John 21:17. He said to Peter the third time, Simon, son of John, do you phileo me? Let that sink in. He said, Peter, do you phileo me? What happened? Jesus says, I know where you are. I know who you are. And I know your weaknesses. Can you at least phileo me? Because you don't have the capacity to agape me. Do you at least phileo me? That's what he's saying. Now, I hope nobody in here is being too judgmental. Like, well, I would agape him. Don't say that, because you, God will bring something across your path and you'll say, yeah, I think I just filio you. I got to recognize my humanness, you know, and I recognize who you are, but I can't be who you are. I can't be who you are. So the third time, what he's saying is, says, Peter, I recognize your weakness. It's like he's saying this, Peter, I recognize your weakness. Do you at least love me like a friend? Zach, do you agape me? I feel like he's, all right. I see. Do you at least love me as a friend? I mean, the dynamic here is kind of crazy. Peter does not have the human capacity to love self-sacrificially like Christ. You know, and I'm just going to warn you something. This is, we'll just call Linda and I's age. I love Jesus so much I'd do anything and I'd serve him. You know, go anywhere. And I got, shouldn't have said that. Shouldn't have said it. You know, because what he's going to do, he's going to put something up there that you can't do. I can't. That's beyond what I was ever thinking. That's beyond. And it's like, God, I give myself to you. I'm really fond of you. But you're going to have to give me the strength to do what you want me to do. And I want to submit to that. See the twist? And that's the lesson. That's the lesson Jesus is leaving. You guys, don't think you've been with me 3 years and you got this. You do not have it. You do not have it. You need to, and to recognize that you walk with me, there's humility. There's humility. You know what humility is like, God can, I can't. God can, I can't. See? So here's that whole picture again. Now, did Peter understand what happened? Okay. Yeah, he knew exactly what was going on. And it goes on, it says, Peter, do you phileo me? Peter was grieved. He was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you phileo me? You know? So, see, those words are important. Do you and Peter is just like, yeah. You know who I am? I know who I am. And I grieve that I can't be who I need to be. It just grieves me that I can't do what I think I should do, you know. So it says he was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you phileo me? Now, and again, I want to bring this to your attention because I can be known to repeat things. My wife's eyes just got that big, like, oh, you're telling me. See, but the thing of it is, what happened is Jesus is repeating this. He is repeating this, and so it's like, oh my gosh, why would Jesus take three times to say this in this scenario? And it comes to this third time, it brings it where Peter finally is grieved. I mean, they're having a conversation. You agape me? No, I filio you. You agape me? No, I filio. hey, Peter, do you at least feel him? And he just, no, it's a reality. And grieve, because he asked me, can you at least love me like a friend? That's what he said. It's Peter's grieved, because he's not even asking him to agape love you. See? Peter knows what happened. Totally knows what happened. So, and then, and this is how Peter answers him. He's grieved, and then he answers him with this. It's, Lord, you know everything, including Peter, all right? He knows who Peter is, and he knows how he functions, and he knows he doesn't have a capacity to love like Christ. And it says, the Lord, Peter said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I filio you. You know I filio you. And then Jesus says, that's right, feed my sheep. What you have, give. What you have, give. You can't be you can't be that self, have that self-sacrificial love like God, because nobody but God can have that. But what you do have, if you can at least love me like a friend, feed my sheep. Now, we're not talking about going and sharing the gospel to the whole world. It's feed my sheep. Care for my sheep. Now, they may, and they will, but they come place. There's sheep. We care for my sheep. You see what I'm saying? That's what he's saying. He said this three times. Three times. Who was the student and what was the point? Who was the student and who had to learn this lesson? Peter. Okay? Peter. There's another thing that's interesting. Now, you kind of have to read between the lines. But I think it's interesting where it says, and I think it's in Mark, I can't remember, but it said when Peter denied Jesus for the third time, he said he turned and looked at him. Now to me, that I don't know what you think. I'm thinking, oh God, I mean, I would just melt. It's just, I mean, it would just, and I kind of think Peter must have done it too. You know, he denied him the third time, Jesus just looked. He didn't have to say anything, he just looked. See, this is who he's talking to here. So he, I don't want, it's like Jesus rubbing salt into the wound. I mean, it is. It's like, hey, I know what you're doing, buddy. He turned and looked at him. Then there's something very interesting, and I think it's also in Mark, but it's very interesting. Jesus tells Mary, I think it's Mary Magdalene, when he arrives, after the resurrection, he says, go and tell the disciples you've seen me. But then there's a sentence, there's a phrase added. And he says, and tell Peter. Now, when you read it, why'd he say that? He's a disciple. Why'd you mention his name? Because think of this. He denied him. He looked. He knew it. He said, be sure and tell Peter. Peter's not doing well right now. Peter is not doing well. Because he denied me for the third time. I looked at him. He could die himself now for what happened. He said, and it says he wept bitterly. You know, wept bitterly. And then Jesus tells Mary, go talk to, and be sure you go talk to Peter. Tell Peter. Now Peter's here. Hey, Jesus says, you love me, you agape love me, Peter. Peter goes, I can't say that. I can't, I haven't proved that, I can't say it. I do love you like a friend. I'm really fond of you, you know. But I can't say that. And so he goes and he asks him second time, same thing. Peter goes, okay, I just can't say it. And then the third time, just the dynamic, then the third time, Jesus looked at him, oh my God, it denied him three times. He said, you know, I fled from him. And so the third time, he said, Peter, do you filio me? Peter just like, oh. Yes. You know everything. Meaning, what is he? You know me. Yeah. I'm really, really fond of you, Jesus. But I can't love like you. So, I'm bringing this up. This is how John closes the Gospel of John. This is how he closes it. Well, the message is to everybody, you know. Like, I think we have information to feed my sheep, okay? But recognize, to feed my sheep, you're going to need me to feed those sheep. You're going to need me to feed my sheep. And so the lesson we have here, we only have a ministry through Jesus. We only have a ministry through Jesus, you know. And this is something else Linda and I have learned, you know. And again, we're telling you, you know, we're close, so we can just tell you, take it with a grain of salt. But we just see some, come into me and I share you, and this is the truth, and this is what I'm doing. Come give money to me, and we'll do this, we'll heal the world and do like that. Linda and I just put up the sign of the cross and step back and say, oh, Lord God, no. No, there's no humility. Anybody says, I will just speak the truth on you and the truth will happen. It's like, that's not how it works. It's like, no, God, I really feel you, and I just pray that you would move through me and tell me what to say, and I will speak it. See, that's the lesson. And I'm telling you, you don't say anything. I mean, we just love everybody, have them over dinner and stuff like that. It's just like, I wouldn't take my spiritual direction from them. You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? But they manifest who they are, and by being such like their Jesus himself, proclaiming in Jesus' words, you know, that's just a curse. They're speaking curses on you. You're opening the door for Satan. See? But oh, Lord Jesus, I want to hear from you. Tell me how to pray, Lord. Show me how I can minister to you, because I want to be part and be a door for you to move into this situation. That's the way we see Scripture. That's the way we see. Now, we see it, Holy Spirit, miracles, and everything else, but we see a miracle. There's one thing we're sure of. We didn't do it. And we just had to beat him there, you know. Are you all grabbing what I'm saying? And I think this is what this is saying. I mean, I ask you to meditate. There's three times. See, this is three. This really gives me encouragement when I repeat myself. Three times basically says the same thing. Anyway, so lesson. We only have a ministry through Jesus. Jesus recognizes where we are. He wants us to recognize where we are. That's why he did that three times to Peter. Jesus didn't know right where he was, but he wanted Peter to realize where he was. But also with the encouragement that all authority was coming through Jesus, so at the same time he told Peter where he was, he built him up on who he would be through Christ. Built in humility there. So we look at this. When we recognize our need for Jesus, we will depend on Christ for everything. And then we can feed the lambs. Then we can feed the lambs. Who feeds the lambs? The ones that were from John chapter 1 through John chapter 21. Those who feed the lamb. He didn't start John off. In the beginning were the lambs that knew everything. No, in the beginning was the Word. You see that? I mean, so this connection, there's really something, and I don't think I'm doing it justice, but there's something really deep about this section of Scripture, because it's Jesus talking to Peter. Do you remember how, do you love me more than these guys? You know. Anyway, so we see all this. I'm going to repeat this. When we recognize our need for Jesus, we will depend on Christ for everything. And we will be able to feed others. And you'll find out that people want to listen. Now, we'll go back to something last week. The Apostle Paul understood that. Totally understood this. Now, the Apostle Paul is like different from all the other disciples. Totally different. These guys were, Jesus picked these people just from the run-of-the-mill guys, you know, and fishermen and stuff, and, you know, didn't, you know, the Pharisees and religious leaders were really surprised at who Jesus picked. And he said, and they even said one time, it's funny, that we don't know anything about them, but we can tell they've been with Jesus. See, I mean, it just messed their minds up, you know, these guys. The Apostle Paul was the same, but Apostle Paul was different, okay? By all accounts, you want to look it up, theological, he's brilliant. He's absolutely brilliant. Several languages, you know, knew Hebrew, you know, Greek, and you know, all every Pharisee, but there's a good chance that he had the entire Bible memorized or three-quarters of it memorized, you know. So when he talked about Scripture, he knew Scripture. He just didn't know the Savior. Okay, he didn't know. And so the Savior appeared to him. He said, Paul, what are you doing? You know? And then Paul goes, who are you? You know, see, that was Paul's issue. He knew all the words, but he didn't know who Jesus was. Now, so God had his own way of teaching Paul, okay? And you talk about the thorn in the flesh. You know, he had a thorn in the flesh. He's prayed, God, take this away from him. He said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. What was he doing? No, you suffer, you serve me in your weakness. Oh, you know everything, nothing's wrong? Okay, I'll give you something to be wrong with you. See? I'm kind of appreciating my thorns because I don't want any more he'd give me. You know, it's like, oh, you're perfect? Well, I'll give you something so you'll know how to serve me. And that's the reason I detest, you know, these preachers. I got it together and this is what you do. But so you have the Apostle Paul, brilliant. But here's what God, when God finished with the Apostle Paul, brilliant, this is how he behaved. This is what he said, and we talked about it last week. So, and he's doing with the Apostle Paul the same thing that happened to Peter. Same thing. Galatians 2:20, Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. Where's Paul? I've been crucified. Where's your intellect? You've been crucified. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. See, that's what he's teaching Peter. Love me like God loved me. And then Peter got, I thought I could, but I can't. Okay, at least love me like a friend. You know, because he was crucified with Christ in a very humbling way. Ran from me, denied him 3 times, and now he's right here. And so Jesus didn't chasten him. He told him, feed my lambs. Just at least love me like a friend and feed my lambs. So Peter is like, I mean, he said he's crucified with Christ. I mean, I'm thinking Peter's thinking, I think crucifying Christ would be easier than going through this with Jesus. Good gosh. Now, so you read, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I can't love like God, but God, he loves me like God. Jesus loved me like God, and I really appreciate that he does. See, the whole dynamic is we see, and when I see this, I see what Jesus said in John, and see what Jesus said here is the Galatians. Okay, this is the power of the church. There it is. This is the power of church, right there. But the power of the church, it comes through humility. God can, we can't. God can. We can't. All right? But if I had my chance, I could tell them, then you just stepped into Satan's territory. I will tell them. Who are you to tell anybody anything? See? Jesus says, I only do what the Father tells me. See? It just, do you see how it all fits together? It all fits together. Remember when Satan was talking to Jesus, you know, in the wilderness? Satan gave Jesus commands. He did. He gave him commands. And what Jesus did, he didn't do what Satan did, said. He didn't say, I'm not doing it. You know? Well, why? You could have done it. No. Not doing it. Why? Why would you do what Satan did? Now, Satan is the one who is self-assured and projects, this is what I want you to do. And Jesus, even before Satan, he goes, no, that's, I'm not going to do what you do. In that verse we just read, do this, turn this rock into bread. He goes, no. Why? Because you live from every word from the mouth of God. Don't tell me what to do. Do you see the separation? And again, it comes back to the church. The church needs to focus on Christ, who Christ is, and how Christ guides people, and you walk along people to help them fall in love with Jesus. And as they you help them fall in love with Jesus, Jesus becomes their teacher. I'm going to say that. I want everybody to say amen. You teach them to fall in love with Jesus. As they fall in love with Jesus, Jesus becomes their teacher. Amen. There's a verse that actually says, I think Jesus said it. He goes, call no man teacher, for Christ is the teacher. It's like, well, why'd you even anoint teachers? He said, well, I need a mouthpiece like here, but Jesus is the teacher who teaches them, and they share what Jesus thought. You see what I'm saying? Anyway, it's fascinating. You can tell it's fascinating with me. So, recognizing we are crucified with Christ, we depend on Jesus, and likewise we are empowered like Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It is all about Jesus. So brothers and sisters, okay. Brothers and sisters, we close out John here, and I'm going to remind you that as we've spent a year going through this gospel, a whole year going through this gospel, you know, and we'll go, this is the last message on the gospel. Here's what Jesus said to you. This is what Jesus said to you. Feed my lambs. You. Well, I don't know anything. Well, I know you've been here for a year. You got to got something out of it. Okay? Something. Feed my lambs. That's a commission to everybody in here. He wants me to go to China. Not now. Maybe. Right now you need to feed my lambs. Did you know, I'm way getting out off base, did you know that the area in Ashburn and all that is almost 90% unchurched? I mean, yeah. I mean, I just think I don't want to go to China. Got a nice house here. I just think I'll stay here with all these heathen. Okay. You're laughing. I'm getting the mark from my wife. Like, stop. All right. Hallelujah. So I want to, and I think you know where we're coming from. And it all goes back to John 3:16. It makes so much sense now. John 3:16. Over. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, have eternal life. Amen. It's all about Jesus, and it's all on depending on him. That's it. And it's each individually one of us. One of us. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for this word. And two, you know, I really do, before you, Lord, I don't feel like I gave this, you know, justice to the depth of what you were saying here. But it's so fascinating to read this, that you would repeat it three times. I can't even think of anything in the scripture right off the top of my head that you just repeated three times to make a point. And the point that
one of the last points you made before you ascended into heaven to be with your Father. And so, Lord, we certainly know that you want us to have our eyes set upon you, and we certainly know that you love us more than we can ever imagine. More than we can ever imagine. And we thank you for that. And we thank you that we know you as Savior and we have a home in heaven. We thank you for that, God. And so, Lord, we just pray, and we want to be sensitive to the lambs you've given us. And that we'll be sensitive to the ones that know you, and that we can walk beside one another and point one another to Christ, and to be able to rest in Christ. We just give you thanks, God. So I pray an anointing on each person here, and I again thank you for Rich joining the elders, and ask a blessing on Annette. And so, Lord, we just give all thanks to you, our eyes set upon you, and truly speak, Lord, your servant is listening. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. So we have some refreshments in the back, and so encourage everyone to pray about the lambs in your life. Pray about the lambs in your life.